My name is Dr. Jeffrey Burke. I'm a naturopath and a master herbalist and the host of the Staying Healthy radio show. My show airs Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. I bring you the best guest in the industry and the topics that are relevant for today's health. The shows stream live at 8 a.m. And for those of you that cannot listen live, my shows are now podcast daily for on-demand downloads at my webpage, drjeffreyburke.com. The show is sponsored by Stay Healthy Health Food Store, Las Vegas's oldest independent health food retailer, now in their fourth decade in the Las Vegas Valley. They're located at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Smith Shopping Center. Go in and see what a local retailer can do for you. Great selection, the most knowledgeable staff, the highest quality products, and amazing prices. The hours of the store are Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 6, and closed on Sunday. I'm looking forward to talking with all of you soon. Stay healthy. Hello and welcome back to the Staying Healthy radio show. I thank you all for taking the time out of your day to stop by, tune in, and walk away with information vital to your good health. Learning the ins and outs about health and nutrition today is essential and something primary that we should be focusing on and no longer is something we get to kind of guess along the way. So remember, we have to make sure we're doing everything we possibly can, and we're going to do it a little bit differently now because we're going to ask questions. We can't just sit back and wait any longer. It's a different world today. Every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 in the morning, I bring you the best guest in the industry, as well as the relevant topics for today's world. Remember, if you can't tune in live, courtesy of Lotus Broadcasting and my awesome producer, all of my shows are recorded, podcast, and archived daily on my webpage, drjeffreyburke.com. Don't forget to head over to Stay Healthy Health Food Store. Not only do they make your healthy journey better, easier, and probably more successful, but they carry the best quality products from the best companies, and they make sure that they are informed, have the knowledge and the education, and of course, great passion to help you on your healthy journey. Stay Healthy is Las Vegas's oldest independent health food retailer, now in their fourth decade in the Las Vegas Valley. You'll find them at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Rancho and Charleston. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 6. They're closed on Sunday. Remember to leave your email at their webpage, stayhealthylasvegas.com, to start getting newsletters, coupons, and all that essential information. And of course, a thumbs up on their Facebook page as well. Well, today we're going to be talking with Neil Levin. We're going to be talking about eye health. You know, with today's world where we have ourselves glued to our handheld devices, our laptops, our iPods, our everything, we've got our eyes on everything, and we get done with our computers, and then we have our smartphones right in front of our eyes as well. I think we're pushing our eyes to the limit. There was a time when we used to think about eye health when we got much older, but I think we need to start thinking about it at a much younger age today. A little background on my guest. Neil Levin is the Nutrition Education Manager and Product Formulator for the natural products manufacturer Now Foods. Neil is a board-certified clinical nutritionist who has a diploma in Advanced Nutritional Laboratory Assessment. He is a professional member of the International and American Associations of Clinical Nutritionists, serves on the Scientific Council of the Clinical Nutrition Certification Board. Neil is a director, program chair, and past president of the American Nutrition Association, and serves on the Public Relations Committee of the American Herbal Products Association. His comments and articles are published in magazines and newspapers. He contributes to scientific journals and has been featured in countless radio interviews and television news reports. Neil posts his articles on his blog, honestnutrition.com, and at nowfoods.com. He tweets as Neil E. Levin, and on Facebook, you can follow him, and I recommend it highly, at Honest Nutrition. Help me welcome my guest. Hey, Neil.
Glad to be with you again, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I think this is a really important topic because of the fact that I know when I was growing up, when you were growing up, you know, if we wanted to read back then, we read a book. You know, we didn't have these backlit devices. We weren't glued to our social media. And I'm guilty. I'm on my computer all the time. I'm on my smartphone all the time. And I mean, you know, and I notice that I'm rubbing my eyes more. I know that I wear reading glasses just for my computer and my smartphone. I don't wear them for anything else because my eyes are good in distance. But I've noticed a dramatic change, and I do blame some of it, well, on age, but also on blue screens, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and in fact, blue lights from screens and other sources is actually associated with some problems with the eye. One of them is the development or potential development of macular degeneration in the eyes, which is an oxidative damage from sunlight. And certainly the blue light in sunlight has a role in there. There's also indications that blue light from monitors and screens, electronics, can affect our ability to get to sleep at night, our production of melatonin from serotonin, for example, and affect our sleep patterns as well, and even our ability to get to sleep. So blue light has a role in not only making the eyes tired, but actively breaking down the center macula of the eye, which affects vision potentially over as we age, and affecting our ability to sleep at night. And you know, again, when you're sleeping, you're not only resting, but you're recovering. You're letting systems repair in the body. You have other benefits going on that are controlled by these cycles, and a lot of these cycles are controlled by the hormone melatonin, which is only made in the darkness while we're sleeping. And so the later in the evening we have these blue light sources, the less likely that we're going to be able to produce enough melatonin to shut down non-essential activities in the body, such as stomach acid production, stress hormone production, and other things that might interfere with our ability to sleep.
You know, the thing about it is, you know, we know that we should be eating foods that are eye nutrient dense. We should be eating a lot more green vegetables. Of course, we should be eating a healthier diet. We should be eating anti-inflammatory foods. Do you feel that is another big chunk that we're missing because we're not only putting back in the nutrition, but we're eating a diet that may actually cause more of a negative than a positive?
Well, sure. If we're increasing oxidative stress, inflammatory triggering factors such as the omega-6 fatty acids, the vegetable oils that are so abundant in the diet, and a lot of the oils and fats in most meats as well, would tend to have pro-inflammatory effects, which are actually normal up to a point. But when the diet gets imbalanced and we don't have enough of the precursors of anti-inflammatory substances in the body, prostaglandins, for example, are master controllers that are produced partially by using these fats in the diet. And if the diet weighs too heavily towards meats and vegetable oils and not so much towards fish oils or associated fats that are omega-3, for example, from fish, flax, walnuts, chia, hemp, various other sources, then we don't have enough anti-inflammatory factors to control the pro-inflammatory factors. Our body is designed to have a rough balance of these. And if we skew the diet too much towards pro-inflammatory factors and not anti-inflammatory factors, then we simply don't have the control mechanism needed to maintain that balance. And again, a lot of plant-derived materials, the bioflavonoids, polyphenols, other free radical fighters and antioxidant substances found in plant foods, if those are not abundant in the diet, we're again robbing our bodies of some of the key and essential components that are needed in the diet to maintain health and balance. Homeostasis is the scientific word for that, healthy balance. And if we don't have that, then we're going to be out of balance. We're not going to be having well-controlled systems in the body, and we're more prone to have oxidative and inflammatory challenges, which affect not only muscles and joints and other things like that. They affect blood vessels and blood flow. They affect brain function, And part of the brain is the eye, and our eyes actually represent about 20 or 25% of the structures and volume of the brain. They're anatomically considered part of the brain or extension of the brain. And so there's some interesting aspects to that, that there's a lot of fat in there, just like the brain. A lot of those fats are long-chain fatty acids like DHA, the type of fat you would find in fish oils, and you would find in krill oil. You would find them in some algae, omega-3 sources in supplemental form. And when you're looking at the brain as a whole, it's mostly fat, and about 60% of that fat is DHA, one of the longest chain fatty acid that's found in fish oil. And we can make DHA from other fats. They have to be omega-3 fats, so they have to be ALA, alpha-linoleic acid, from flax, chia, walnuts, hemp oil, seed oil, or other sources like that. But again, that's something that we're not able to control if we don't have the right inputs in terms of nutrients.
Okay. Now, when we start working on our eye health, obviously there's carryover from our multiple vitamins, and there's carryover from other nutrients that we use. But, you know, when people are going into health food stores today, they're coming in and they're saying, I need something for my eyes. You know, a lot of people are going back to school at a much younger age and to get a degree. Some people are going back at an older age, you know, they're 50 years old, and all of a sudden they find out that their office, their company wants them to get more continued education. And these people will tell you, you know, my eyes, I mean, I have eye strain, I'm having a hard time reading, you know, memory is another topic. We can do that another time. But, you know, a lot of people are having trouble focusing, and they'll come in and they'll say, I need something for my eyes, or they've been diagnosed with the beginnings of a cataract or macular, or they have glaucoma, or they just have, their eyes are changing from one year to the next, and their prescriptions are getting stronger. I never saw prescriptions change so rapidly these days. Is this just part of the process?
Well, I mean, there's different processes going on. For example, one of the theories of why our eyes change as we age is something called presbyopia, which is an age-related lengthening of the eyeball. And it's actually changing the focus because, you know, just like if a zoom lens, you know, if you extend it, it's changing where it's focusing on. As the eye lengthens, you're changing your ability to focus. So you might be correcting something and making something else worse, whether you're looking at close vision, distance of maybe a computer screen, or reading a street sign. And we're using our eyes more and in different ways than historically in the past. If you go back, you know, no more than a couple hundred years, maybe, you know, people are not able to do the same things. We're looking at these lighted screens more. Mm-hmm. We're working much later in the night than most people would by candlelight or gaslight or something like that. We've extended our days, which extends our vision, but a lot of our vision we're doing is fairly fixed. We're reading, we're looking at screens, TV or phones or various other things, and so we're not varying and using the muscles around the eye as much, which actually is reputed to have an effect on controlling the length of the eyes, that the muscles in around the eyes, if you do eye exercises and you're literally exercising the muscles around the eyes where they're not getting weaker and softer as we age, you might actually theoretically be able to avoid that age-related lengthening of the eyes that changes the focus. I didn't need reading glasses, for example, or any kind of glasses, eyeglasses, until I was in my around 50 years old. Mm. So, you know, the length of my eyes changed over time, but I started using cheaters, the non-prescription ones, and eventually switching to bifocals, trifocals, where I have a magnifying one. I could read those real tiny labels in the stores on supplement bottles, for example. And by looking down in my glasses, looking across the middle, I can read a computer screen or a television screen. And looking across the top, I can easily read street signs, and they're adjusted for each eye, of course, you know, with the eye exams. So, you know, I've used the technology that's available the best I can, but, and I have one set of glasses instead of multiple pairs, but I didn't need glasses 20 years ago. So, right. You know, this is something that changes. I eat a decent amount of fruit and lots of vegetables, so I'm getting these pigments and phytochemicals. I'm taking supplements that are providing the things I need. So something else is going on, and it has to do with aging and the way I'm using my eyes and the way the muscles of the eye are not containing the eye in the same shape over decades and decades.
You know, when I talk to people today, you know, when I was in my 20s, I never ever thought that I would ever wear glasses in my younger years. They've just, you know, once again, you know, we were kind of conditioned back then to think that most of those things, you know, were hitting a lot of people at an older age. And when I never wore reading glasses until I got in my 50s, and it was just blurred, and I fought it as long as I could. And, you know, just because when the screen was so close, I mean, I just was getting blurred, and mostly in just one side, and then it was both sides. So, I mean, I always have reading glasses, and I wear them when I'm reading or on the phone. And I know that I'm miserable when I don't use it, because I really find myself straining or reading a label on something in the kitchen or reading a vitamin bottle. I mean, I need them, and I never thought that I would become reliant on them. So, I mean, I do use a lot of supplementation for my eyes. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people are wondering today. Can you make a difference in, you know, your vision? I mean, are there things that work primarily on helping to make our eyes better, like we do other things in the body with nutrition?
Sure. And, I mean, there's other techniques, too. And we talk about eye exercises. You ever notice that squinting makes you be able to focus on something better?
Yeah.
And there's those pinhole glasses that have little holes in them, look like, you know, they're solid material with holes in them that actually make the eye focus differently. And some people can read or see things without glasses. Now, it cuts a lot of the light coming in. You have to be in a bright area for it to work. But, you know, that's one way people have used to train the eyes. There's actually eye exercises where you consciously move the eyes around and try to strengthen those muscles around the eyes, which helps maintain, if not reverse, the lengthening of the eyes that can occur as we age. But yeah, nutrients have a role, and this has been shown in a number of studies. I really like some studies that were done in 2004 to 2007 time frame at the Veterans Hospital in North Chicago, Illinois, by Dr. Stuart Richer. And he had studies called the LAST 1 and 2 studies, a lutein antioxidant study that he used on these veterans. And in the first study, he was able to show that using lutein with zeaxanthin, these are two yellowish pigments that are found in spinach, for example, yellow squash, yellow corn, things like that. That yellow pigment comes largely from lutein and zeaxanthin, which is, they're two carotenoids related to beta carotene. And he showed that in the first study that an application of 10 milligrams of lutein from lutein esters, which is about 50% lutein, so 20 milligrams of lutein esters providing 10 milligrams of elemental lutein or actual lutein, was able to slow the decline of the macula, the density of the macula diminishing over time in these veterans' eyes. Now, what that means is macular degeneration is one of the largest causes of age-related vision problems. And when you lose the density of the macula, you actually can't focus on a central area you're looking at. You're looking at like a donut ring of vision with the center, the donut hole, not being something you could see. And, you know, so that's obviously not a very good way to see things. You know, it's very distracting and potentially disabling. So he was able to show in the first study that lutein is zeaxanthin with 10 milligrams a day of lutein. And he was using the FluoroGlow lutein in the studies. I actually called him and asked to double-check when I was formulating products. I'm using the same material at the same strength they used in that study. And so the first study showed that they were able to slow the progression of macular degeneration. In the second study, they compared the lutein and zeaxanthin with a formula containing additional antioxidants, a precursor really of the ARIDS studies that people might be familiar with. And in the second study, it was the first one to show that a nutrient, lutein, could actually somewhat reverse the progression by increasing the density of the macula, and the formula with supporting antioxidants actually worked better than lutein and zeaxanthin alone. So that's where a lot of these eye formulas started getting popular. Now, one of the issues is that these carotenoids compete for absorption. When you're taking fat-soluble nutrients, you need at least 3 to 5 grams of fat, say a teaspoon of fat, to help it absorb some kind of fat or oil. They're fat-soluble. They require a certain threshold, a certain triggering mechanism to get pancreatic enzymes, including lipase, the one that helps you absorb fats, and the bile from the gallbladder, that are both tools to help you absorb and transport fats from the digestive tract to the liver, where they can be processed. And if you don't have enough, that could be a problem. One of the reasons that MCT oil, medium chain triglyceride oil, has been so popular is that it absorbs readily without these specific fat digesting mechanisms. And that's one reason that companies like Now tend to use them in products like a liquid vitamin D or a ubiquinol, CoQ10, CoQH is really the more technical term, for ubiquinol, which is a form of CoQ10. And it helps it absorb without all these other mechanisms, even if you were to accidentally take it without a meal or some other source of fat that would normally help these things absorb. So the fact that carotenoids compete for absorption and require even more fat to help and more enzymes to help them absorb means that you want to minimize the amount of beta-carotene in an eye formula, because beta-carotene was originally the main carotenoids used in those type of formulas, and increase the lutein and zeaxanthin appropriately. And the ratio I came up with by looking at the research was about a 4-to-3 ratio of lutein to beta-carotene, or an even greater ratio, even more lutein to beta-carotene was needed. But certainly more lutein in the formula than beta-carotene. And when I started designing these eye formulas about 15 years ago, the information showed that I was looking at formulas that were having like 50,000 units of beta-carotene, and that was way too much. It would overwhelm the lutein and the other carotenoids from being absorbed. It was actually good for certain parts of the eye, but not for the macula. And if you're looking for a broad eye formula that covers more bases, you need to increase the lutein and decrease the beta-carotene, which is exactly what we did about 15 years ago.
You know, I think that there was a time, Neil, when formulations were done and put together where a lot of people thought that the only time they could be successful would be if they had so much more than what we really needed in the formulas. And I think since then we've learned a lot about formulating, not just about the numbers, but by finding out exactly how much of things actually can absorb and how much is wasted. And one thing that I've learned about your products and your formulations is you don't just take into consideration just having the best raw products. You want to make sure you've got the right balance of everything. And then you also take into consideration that there's a lot of compromised digestive systems out there in the country. And, you know, that all becomes part of the formulation. And I think that that's another reason of why the line has become so credible.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, that is something we noticed. We're looking at these formulas when I was developing our eye formulas. I'm looking at the competitors, and the best-selling one at the time, like I said, had 50,000 units of beta-carotene in there, and way too much for the lutein. And when I designed a product, it looked radically different from the top seller. And a lot of times when you're coming up and trying to compete with a market leader, you're trying to more or less copy them with a few tweaks and additions. In this case, we didn't want to do that because we didn't like that formula. We didn't think it was as competent a formula as we could come up with, and that it was actually counterproductive in some ways, and, you know, actually somewhat dangerous. You know, you certainly wouldn't want a pregnant woman using that much beta carotene or something like that, or smokers using that much beta carotene. So, you know, we really wanted to reformulate that. And in the same way, when I was designing a formula to compete with Airborne and some of these other products, which had way too much vitamin A in there, and vitamin A, unlike beta-carotene, can be toxic to people at the doses they were given. It was certainly not a daily dose that was safe at the time. And it's interesting to see over the years, these other formulas have changed to mimic our formula more, which means they're safer and they're better formulas than they used to be, because we design them from the get-go with those things in mind. We're not just trying to copy someone who's popular and put in the same amount or the same forms or the same things they're using. We're looking at what's the right way to do this. And, you know, it makes us come up with different things. If you're looking at things from a purely hypothetical viewpoint, it's going to be different. Some companies are now formulating with artificial intelligence. And I'm actually going to be on a panel in a couple months at a trade show talking where I'm representing the human formulator and another company is representing artificial intelligence. And we're kind of debating that in front of an audience of manufacturers. And, you know, it's interesting. If you were simply looking at the market and what are the top sellers and what would be in a formula, you would probably put too much vitamin A and beta carotene and things like that in the eye formulas 15 years ago to mimic what was popular and try to capitalize on that, rather than going back to the original research and saying, what actually makes sense? How do these things work on each other? And the human element comes up with a different formulation sometimes than artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence could be a very useful guide, but I certainly wouldn't rely on it to be the decider over a human looking at the marketplace, looking at the science, trying to synthesize these things in a more holistic way.
I think the wonderful thing about nutrition today over other times along the way, along my progressive career, is that people have the availability today of truly getting what they're looking for if they go to the right places that carry quality blends and ingredients and nutrients that they can rely on. You know, when we first started out, I mean, you know, there were no blends, there were no combinations. Half of these nutrients that are available today were not even, you know, a glimmer in anyone's eye way back when. And today, if you're walking into a health food store today for the very first time, you have such a wonderful plethora of choices in front of you. And if you do your homework, you can really make a dramatic difference on your health today as well as your health tomorrow.
You can, and certainly in the eye nutrition area, if you go into a pharmacy, drugstore, grocery store, mass market, you're going to see overwhelmingly the focus is on these ARIDS or ARIDS2 study formulas. And I personally don't like those formulas as much as some of the older formulas because, for example, ARIDS used a really high dose of zinc. It's 80 milligrams of zinc a day. The RDA is, what, 15 daily value milligrams? So they're giving a huge dose of zinc that not everybody needs. They're using forms that might cause GI distress. You know, some of the forms of zinc that are used are not that well-absorbed or soluble, and that might be one reason they're using a high dose. And if we're using a very well-absorbed chelated form, a pre-digested, pre-acidified form, we might get by with a lot less than somebody else. We've seen that with iron. Doctors routinely give that 325 milligrams of ferrous sulfate, which represents about 75 milligrams of elemental iron. And if we give 25 or 30 milligrams of well-absorbed iron, not only do people not get constipation and hemorrhoids and other things that they could get from taking a very constipating form of iron that has these negative effects, they're absorbing more. So sometimes if you're matching a study and they used a poorly absorbed form and use a better absorbed form, we could probably get the same results because they're getting the nutrient in question, zinc, iron, whatever, but they're getting it in a way that's less constipating, less GI side effects, and they're absorbing more of it. You don't necessarily need the same amount to match the study. So blindly following studies, again, is something artificial intelligence might suggest, but human intelligence would suggest there's sometimes more efficient, better ways to do that with fewer side effects potential, and you know, is really a more reasonable way to go with more natural forms of these nutrients that a lot of the health food store consumers would actually prefer.
Now, what about the idea that now, when you dramatically change your diet, how much will that play in the health of the eyes? Let's say that you've been eating the standard American diet for a long, long time, and you've just kind of lost your health along the way, and all of a sudden you decide to become a vegetarian and do it right with all the good products and all the good foods and all that kind of stuff. How much does that play a role in eye health?
Well, eating a largely plant-based diet, it doesn't have to be completely vegetarian, but certainly a plant-based diet, is going to have a lot of benefits because you're going to get those carotenoids and antioxidants and things that have been shown in these various LAST studies and ARED studies to be beneficial or potentially beneficial, at least in large population studies or patient studies. And, you know, that's a good thing. You're getting these pigments, you're getting your vitamins, your minerals. So you're getting things that are needed for the eye to be healthy. And you're not getting that in a diet that's comprised mostly of fast foods and mostly meats. And, you know, if meat and potato diet is not going to have a lot of phytonutrients, plant-based nutrients. And so getting those in one form or another, whether it's from your food or your supplements, is something the body needs. So taking a supplement is kind of an insurance to make sure that you are getting the necessary nutrients, even if you're not getting them from the diet. It's probably preferable in most cases to get them from the diet, but certainly there's advantages to supplementation. The surety of getting the dosing of nutrients you're looking for and the specific nutrients you're looking for in the right amounts and the forms that are proven to be absorbable and utilizable by the body. You know, these are all things you would get from supplements that you might not get from foods. You might rely on food containing something, but the way the food is grown, ripened, processed, how long it sits before it gets to you, a lot of these nutrients might be depleted. And, you know, in minerals, they're not something that's made by the plant. They're drawn in from the soil from the plant. And if you're adding NPK fertilizers, three nutrient fertilizers, which is common chemical farming, conventional farming, you're not getting zinc and iron and phosphorus and, you know, all the other nutrients you would expect in these things, copper, chromium, you know, if, as the soil becomes depleted of those because the plants take it up and you harvest the plants and you're not replacing it with something in the fertilizer like they would in organic gardening and farming, then the nutrients aren't going to be there. And if the plants don't have the right mineral nutrients, they're not going to be able to make the other phytochemicals, the pigments and antioxidants and things that they need. And by the way, the glyphosate, which is the main active ingredient in some of the pesticides like Roundup, is actually a mineral chelator. It's patented on the basis of robbing plants of essential minerals. So when we're eating foods that contain glyphosate, non-organic foods, not just GMO, because GMO crops, a lot of them are designed to be glyphosate resistant or Roundup ready, as the term would go. But then you have, they're using glyphosate as a desiccant, as a harvest method on plants that are non-GMO, such as wheat and oats. And this has been a problem. Now has actually begun testing our products, like oat products, to make sure that they do not have high levels of glyphosate, because we don't want that to be used as a harvesting technique and to have large amounts of this chemical added to the foods right before harvest. So we're actually proactively testing for this and making sure that our products will be safe for consumption, which most companies are not doing. But if you're getting glyphosate in your foods, you're robbing the plant of minerals. And there's some studies I've seen on the GMO crops as well that there are lower levels of nutrients, and that could be because of the intended mechanism of action of glyphosate to chelate or bond to minerals and rob the plants of new minerals, starving them. That's how it kills weeds.
How successful are you finding crops, I guess you will, or raw product without glyphosates in it?
We're able to find sources. You know, we're sometimes rejecting materials, but, you know, that's not something that is highly regulated by the federal government or the states, so that if we're rejecting some material that we think has a higher level than it should of glyphosate, that doesn't mean someone else isn't getting that and using it without testing, because we're one of the very few companies that actually tests our sources for pesticides. We have a pesticide screening program with, I was told our instrumentation alone is about a $2 million investment to be able to do the level of testing we're doing. And we've got some highly advanced scientists, including method scientists, that actually lecture and demonstrate our methods at scientific conferences to other chemists. So, you know, we're very advanced in this area. This is not a routine thing that most businesses are doing.
You know, I'm wondering, you know, should some of these nutritional supplements be taken at a much, much younger age now? Do we wait until we start to notice that we may have some eye problems? Because I know many people are starting these now in their 40s and 50s. What about in your 20s, seeing as everybody that's coming up now already has a lot of extra eye strain in their life? Should we start things like lutein and astaxanthin and, you know, some of these protector nutrients at a younger age?
Well, certainly the lutein and zeaxanthin you're getting if you're eating your green leafy vegetables. You get them in spinach. You get them in kale. You get them in yellow squash. You get them in corn, which a lot of people tend to avoid nowadays. But, you know, yellow corn has the same pigments. And, you know, if you're eating healthy foods, you're likely to get some of these. And if you're taking your daily multivitamin, a lot of the multivitamins nowadays have small amounts of lutein and zeaxanthin. It might be 5 or 10% of the levels that are used in these studies, mm-hmm. you know, if they're using lutein and zeaxanthin. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're not having any benefit, or that you're not getting at least a minimal amount for maintenance. It might be that getting these low amounts for years or decades might protect you enough by maintaining the density of the macula of the eye, for example, was one example, where it's going to be, you don't need these heroic amounts later to try to maintain or rebuild or reverse this, because it's always harder to reverse something that's degenerating than to maintain it.
I see. You know, I wonder, because sometimes I will hear from people and they'll say, you know, am I genetically predisposed to eye conditions? You know, it's macular degeneration, glaucoma, cataracts are in my family. How much weight does that, you know, weigh on us as far as genetically being linked to it? Is it connected?
Well, sure. There's genetic triggers. What are the structures of your eye, et cetera? But also there's one of the genetic things is your eye color. And it's known that blue eyes convey less protection than darker pigmented eyes. And blue eyes also have a tendency for the pigment to flake off in the eye. It can actually clog the ducts and increase the pressure and be a risk factor for glaucoma. So lighter colored eyes are not an advantage in terms of protection from the sun. You know, and that's certainly a genetic factor, the color of our eyes. But in addition, all these genetic triggers and genetic tendencies and the genomics, the science of how our genetics are, the switches on our genetics are triggered by environmental effects. That's a whole vast area of study that they're just really starting into. How does an environmental trigger change something in your genes to make it more, to turn on a gene, to make it do something differently?
Wow. You know, the way that I look at this today is that, you know, it's almost like designer health today. You know, if you really know your weak areas, you can actually do the research and start supplementing accordingly for those areas that you're really trying to strengthen. And we have a much better chance if you follow suit with companies that have really put out some quality products. I mean, you can really shop for your health today. I mean, that's the best way I can put it.
Oh, sure. I mean, people have a lot of options nowadays. And, you know, like I said earlier, You can buy formulas, you know, the eye formulas, for instance, you could probably get in almost any large grocery store, any mass market retailer, any drugstore would have something like that. One of the problems is what are the ingredients they're choosing? What are the excipients they're using? Excipients are the non-actives. So not only is there sometimes an issue with which form of vitamin, which form of mineral are they using, but also what are they encapsulating or tableting it with? Are they putting shellac over the tablet as a protective layer, a coating that's harder to absorb?
Right.
Are they using instead of phytochemicals, petrochemicals from petroleum? Are they using talc? Are they using synthetic type excipients, where companies like my company now are going to use hypoallergenic, vegan, non-GMO, natural excipients, like cellulose from southern pine trees would be one example, or a non-GMO rice maltodextrin instead of corn GMO maltodextrin. You know, so we always have choices and options, and natural product companies are going to choose different options to make these in terms of both active ingredients and excipients than the mass market and drug companies are going to produce in terms of supplements.
If you already have eye problems, can you make them better with healthy nutrition?
Well, that's a controversial topic.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen in the LAST2 study, the Veterans Antioxidants, Lutein Antioxidant Study, that you could increase the density of the macula of the eye. In the ARIDS studies, they were showing like a 25% benefit in terms of progression to eye problems in people who were taking the supplements. Okay. You know, there's a benefit. So a lot, yeah, but that's not reversing.
No,
that's slowing or avoiding the progression of a potential disease or degeneration. So there's some indications, especially in that veteran study, that you might be able to restore the macula and reverse macular degeneration. That's actually an indication. It hasn't truly been proven, even after all these years. But now, certainly there's hope. And if you're not getting these nutrients, then you know there's a bigger problem. And the fact that they could delay the progression in the ARIDS study or reverse it in the LAST study indicates that there's a role for nutrients, and that nutrients affect the health of our eyes, and that the earlier you're getting even small amounts of these through dietary changes, supplementation, avoidance of sunlight without protection, some of the sunglasses and eyeglasses have built-in protection against various light, and you can ask your eye doctor if it protects against blue light for extra protection. And for years and years, they've had these blue blocker sunglasses. I see ads for them on TV even today, where they're protecting your eyes from those blue lights. There are supplements to help against blue light exposure, which is largely from, it could be sunlight, but most of the time today it's going to be from electronic screens that people get blue lights. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we're seeing some of these monitors and TVs and screens, even phone screens, claiming some protection or reduction of blue light that they're producing.
You know, I interestingly, you know, I just think this is a really good topic because, you know, for the longest time, I used to hear from people, like I said, that were much older, that were starting to notice a difference in their eyes. I mean, I talk to people in their 20s today and 30s that are saying that, you know, some of the things they're dealing with now are changes in their eyes at a younger age. And, you know, maybe the awareness is out there that, you know, because of overusing our eyes as much as we do, you know, and what we're staring at, and then of course everything from environmental to food and stress and lack of sleep and all those things, that we do need to be more courteous to our eyes and maybe give them a little bit more attention. So I love it. You know, I think it's really important. We got about a minute left. Neil, on your side, anything you want to end up with, telling people to maybe some last minute ideas that they can do?
Well, just a reminder that so much of what we do today with our eyes is related to a fixed focus, that we're not varying how we're focusing, how far away we're focusing. There's not enough variety for our eyes to look at to maintain them, you know, which is really something that maintains the muscles around the eyes. It, you know, it helps you avoid a fixed stare at a screen or something like that, or a book, or those kind of things. We're far too fixed focused and far too little variable focused for the health of our eyes. And in the same way, we're too fixed in our diets, where we're not getting all the nutrients we need in the right amounts to maintain the eyes in many cases. So, you know, these are two areas people can look at to protect themselves. Wear protection when you're going outside in the sun, especially if you're light-colored eyes, and make sure you're getting the nutrients the eye needs to maintain itself.
And you're an advocate for sunglasses, though, right? Right, the right kind.
Yes, or brims or something to keep that bright light out of your eyes, where it doesn't hurt your eyes and degrade things. It's actually going to use up more antioxidants in the eyes, the oxidative damage of sunlight entering the eyes.
All right. Well, great information. Neil, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it, and I hope everything is well in your area town. We'll talk to you next time around.
Thanks. Stay healthy, my friends.
I want to thank Neil Levin for being here today, as well as, of course, talking about Now Foods. You know, they're a wonderful sponsor of the show, and seeing as I've been to their laboratories, I've actually seen the quality and the integrity that goes into every single stage of their supplementation. So it was actually quite an honor to be able to go. I went with Marge from Stay Healthy, and we flew back there and got to see an amazing tour of the laboratory, so it was quite cool. It just lets you know that quality and integrity is out there, and you just have to choose companies that take the time to think about us, the consumer, first. Stay Healthy Health Food Store. You can find a huge amount of Now Foods products at Stay Healthy every single day. Stay Healthy is your one-stop, full-service location for everything health and nutrition. Make sure when you go in to ask them to give you a slip to enter and win the basket of the month, depending on what they have going on there. Sometimes one, sometimes two baskets that'll be raffled off at the end of every month. So it's kind of cool. Just go in there and ask them for a little slip and say, I want to enter and win. Stay Healthy has been here a long time. They're in their fourth decade in the Las Vegas Valley. They are Las Vegas's oldest independent health food retailer. And they also take the time to think about health and nutrition. And because they're educated, because they have great information and answers, they're going to make sure that you have what you need to make better, wiser, healthier decisions about your good health. Find them at 840 South Rancho Drive on the Rancho corner of Charleston and Rancho, northwest corner over there by the Smiths. You'll see them. They've been there, like I said, for such a long time. You're going to find that you're not only going to feel better about getting healthy, but because you ask questions and because you deal with people that are going to be able to answer those questions and make sure that you're heading in the right direction, you're going to get to see some results. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing more motivating than starting on something, some healthy journey, and then putting yourself into that healthy journey and seeing results along the way, because you're going to want to do it more. You're going to want to find out what else you can do to feel better and healthier than you've been in a long time. You know, once we get motivated, we run with it. And that's really, really important. I want to remind everybody that this is the Staying Healthy Radio Show. And I'm here Monday through Friday from 8 till 9 in the morning, bringing you the information that's vital for your good health. Learning the ins and outs, making sure that you have what you need to get the job done. All I can tell you is I'm bringing you these great guests, and these topics are relevant. They're the things we should be talking about. They're the things we need to talk about. And maybe sometimes the things we're embarrassed to talk about for whatever reason, I'm not sure. Because you know what? You're never alone. There's a whole bunch of people out there going through some of the same things you're going through. So by asking questions, you may find that there's a lot of different protocols, a lot of different alternatives and complements, and a lot of information to bring you up to date. Because see, if you have the information, you can have a better dialogue with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers, and with your medical practitioners. And being able to have that good, you know, knowledgeable, well-researched dialogue is extremely important. So I hope that you'll take this information. I hope you'll reach out for it. I hope you'll require it and demand good information, because that's when you're going to be able to start seeing some dramatic changes and differences in your health, when you've done your homework. Guessing, grabbing something off a shelf, not asking questions, not finding out if it's the best protocol for you, that's not the way to do it. You know, put the same amount of research and the same amount of effort and concern into your health and well-being that you do when you go buy a car or clothing or a new phone of some kind, the amount of research you do. So make sure you take the time to do everything you possibly can. Remember, if you can't tune in live to my show, courtesy of Lotus Broadcasting and my awesome producers, all of my shows are recorded, podcast, and archived daily on my webpage, drjeffreyburke.com. I hope you'll take the time to go there and listen to a show when it's convenient for you. Thank you to Neil Levin and Now Foods and all the great products they have. Have a great day. Do something healthy just for you. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to the Staying Healthy Radio Show. Remember to tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. for the most up-to-date, relevant information on your health, with the best guest in the industry helping all of us to get healthy, be healthy, and stay healthy. For your convenience, podcasts of the show are now available at my website, drjeffreyburke.com. Simply click on the archive icon to make available on-demand podcast downloads. Make sure to visit Stay Healthy Health Food Store for all your nutrition needs. Stay Healthy provides reliable, responsible, relevant service every single day. I look forward to talking with all of you soon.